Someone's moved my setup.
All right, so my job is to tell you folk tales, and I have three to tell you tonight. And you're all going to smirk at me, so that's fine, we can manage a bit. So, the first folk tale, well, I'm going to do two from Turkey, okay? But before we begin, we're going to do something that shows us that we're listening. It's something that people use in Haiti when they do storytelling with kids and also with adults. So the storyteller says, crick, and everyone else says, crack, to show you're listening, okay? So crick.
Crack.
Crick.
Crack.
Crick.
Crack.
Crick.
Crack.
Crick. Crick. Crick.
Crack.
Crick.
Crack.
Crick.
Crack.
Crack. Yeah. I've got a banana here because the first story is about the sort of person who would step on a banana peel, go for a ride, and make you think about it at the same time. His name's Nasreddin Hoca, and he's a man from Turkey from about the 13th century, a long time ago. I told this first story at the butcher's shop, and it didn't go down very well, but I'm hoping it goes down better right here. This one's called The Recipe. So Nasreddin Hoca went to the market one day, and he bought himself some meat. And he was walking home with his meat, thinking about how he might eat it. And he bumped into a friend who said, "Oh, Nasreddin, I see you've bought some meat. Let me tell you how they cook it at our house." And the friend began to describe this delicious, delicious meal with spices and maybe a bit of dried fruit. It had been cooked for a long time. And Nasreddin's mouth began to water. And he said, "I won't remember that. Can you write it down for me?" And so the friend found a piece of paper, scribbled down the recipe, and gave it to Nasreddin. And the friend went on his way, and Nasreddin kept walking towards his house. And he's walking along with the meat in one hand and the recipe in the other, when a hawk dropped out of the sky, snatched the meat, and flew off into the distance. "Ah," says Nasreddin, "but it won't do you any good because I still have the recipe. I still have the recipe." In the butcher's shop, they said, "But you can remember a recipe." I said, "Maybe this was a very complicated one." Anyway.
Fabulous.
Just to shake it up and listen.
That's the end.
The next story is also... The next story is also about Nasreddin Hoca. But this time, he was working in a field. And the shadows were getting low. And he suddenly realised, he'd been invited to the rich man's house for dinner. But if he went home and got changed, he'd be late. He'd show dishonour to his host. What was he to do? So he brushed himself down, he splashed his face, and he went to the rich man's house. He knocked on the door. The servant opened the door, looked him down and up and said, "We're not expecting you," and shut the door in his face. Well, Nasreddin, he went home. And he put on his nice fur coat and he went back to the rich man's house. He knocked on the door. The servant opened the door and said, "Ah, Nasreddin Hoca, we've been expecting you. You're our guest of honour. We have a place for you set at the top of the table. Come in, come in." Nasreddin went to the table and he sat at the top and he looked at the banquet set out before him. There was some chicken. He took himself a piece of chicken and he put it in his left-hand pocket. There were rice balls. He took a rice ball and put it in his right-hand pocket. There was a bowl of fruit. He took a piece of fruit and slipped it up his sleeve. And oh, some lovely delicacies, and he popped one under his collar. And then he saw the garlic sauce. And he poured it all over the chicken in his pocket. His neighbour nudged him. Nasruddin, Nasruddin, what are you doing? You ruined your fur coat. Well, said Nasruddin, I'm feeding my coat because it's my coat and not me who is the guest of honour in this house.
Good point,
Nasruddin. There you go. We've got lots of other Nazarene stories I can tell later, if you like.
Lots.
My kids are sick of them. Those are from Turkey, but now we're going to move to Liberia, a country in Africa which has rainforests and a place where cattle are really important. And we have here cowbell. But before I start, I'm going to do another call and response from the Sudan, another country in Africa, okay? So the storyteller says, I'm going to tell you a story. And you would all say, right. And I would say, it's a lie. And you'd all say, right. And I'd say, but not everything is false. And you'd all go, right, okay? So I'm going to tell you a story.
Right.
It's a lie.
Right.
But not everything in it is false.
Right.
Okay. A cow tail switch. Once there was a hunter named Ogoluta. He had 6 fine sons and a wife who was a little bit pregnant. Now one day Ogoluta decided it was a good day to go hunting. So he collected together his hunting gear and then he walked off up the mountain and into the rainforest. Meanwhile, his wife and sons went in the other direction. They went to the fields to tend their crops and to graze their cattle. That evening, the wife and the sons came back to the village. They prepared their evening meal, no Ogoluta. They ate, no Ogoluta. They wondered where he was, but then they went to bed. The next day came, and there was still no sign of him. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the days turned into weeks, and the weeks into months. And gradually, they stopped wondering what had happened to him. Gradually, they forgot. So time passed, and Ogoluta's wife got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then time came for her to have her baby. And she had another boy, a 7th son, who she called Puli. Now, little Puli was a beautiful baby, and he grew, and he grew, and he did all the things that babies do. And then one day, he began to speak. And the first thing that he said was, "Where is my father?" Well, the sons looked at each other, and the mother looked at the sons, and they were like, "We don't know. We forgot. I wonder what happened to him." And so the 6 sons decided they'd go into the forest and find him. So they collected up their hunting gear and then they went up into the forest to search for their father. But they left Puli home because he was too young for the hunt. Now those 6 brothers, they searched and they searched. They searched high and they searched low. And eventually they came to a clearing. Now in the clearing, they found Ogoluta's hunting gear And they also found human bones. They realized that their father had died in the hunt. They were quiet for a while. And then the oldest brother said, "Well, you know, I have the power of knitting bones together." And so he walked around the clearing, carefully and gently picking up all the bones. And then he knit them all together, one by one, every bone in the right place, until he had the full skeleton. The second son said, "Well, that's interesting. I have the power to put flesh on bones." And so he put flesh on the bones that were lying there. The third son said, "Well, I have the power to put blood through flesh." And so he poured blood through the body, and the body was full of blood. And the fourth son said, "Well, I can put breath into a body." And so he leaned over the body and he filled it with breath. Now the fifth son said, "Well, I can give it movement." And so he gave the body movement. And the sixth son said, "Well, I can give a body speech." And so he gave the body the power of speech. And just then Ogaloosa sat up and he looked around and he said, "Where have I been?" And his sons told him everything. And then they collected up all the hunting gear and they came back down the mountain from the forest back to the village. Now when Ogaloosa's wife saw him, she was overjoyed. She cooked him his favourite meal and he ate and then he slept. For he was exhausted. He slept for 4 whole days. And then he got up and he shaved his head, because that is what you do when you come back from the dead. And then he went outside and he invited the whole village to a feast to celebrate his return from the dead. He killed a cow for them to eat at the feast. And then while everybody was preparing the meal, he took the tail and then he wove it and he threaded it with beads and he tied in beautiful shells and he tucked in feathers and coloured threads until it was the most beautiful cow tail switch that you've ever seen. A switch you can flick yourself, flick away the flies. A beautiful cow tail switch. And then when the feast was about to begin, Ogaloosa said, "Look at this switch. I'll give it to the person who did the most to bring me back from the dead." Well, the first son said, "Give it to me. I put your bones together." And the second son said, "What are you talking about? I put flesh on the bones." Well, the third son said, "But I put blood through the flesh." And the fourth son said, "But I gave the body breath." And the fifth son said, "What use is a body without power of movement?" And the sixth son said, "What good is a body that cannot speak?" And those six sons, they fought and they fought and they fought about who would get this cowtail switch. And then Ogaloosa said, "Enough, enough." And he picked up the cowtail switch and he turned and he presented it to Little Pulley. There you go, Pulley. He said, "Little Pulley, Little Pulley deserves a switch. In our culture, no one is truly dead until they've been forgotten. Little Pulley remembered me. Little Pulley asked where I was. Little Pulley gets a switch." There was a pause, and then all the brothers smiled and nodded. They knew who was right. And then all the village laughed and nodded because they knew that was right. And then the feast began. And they ate and they drank and they sang and they danced and they told stories deep, deep into the night. our tails, which... Jeanette Winterson once said, "Trust me, I'm telling you stories. I'm just telling you stories. Let it come, let it go. That's what you do with a story. You let it come, and then you let it go." That's the end of the formal bit of storytelling. But the villagers feasted, and then they told stories into the night. We have dessert waiting for us. And maybe there are one or two stories floating around that still need to be told. I don't know. But that's all for now. Thank you. Yeah, Lulu.
Is he flesh? Because I have the image that he had like a skeleton.
Yeah.
And he was just like moving, but he had no skin. You could just see all his organs and his flesh.
I checked three versions of that story because I wanted to know what they did about skin. But they used the word flesh to obviously mean flesh in a bag.
If you had flesh with skin on it, you wouldn't say that's bundled flesh and skin. Did you say that's
wrong?
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't have organs, lungs, kidneys, or brain. Like,
I'm pretty sure that's what they meant by flesh, just a body.
So do you reckon it's a story about reconstructing a body, or do you think there might be something else going on in that story? That's for you to wonder about. I told that story a couple of weeks ago to a boy who is the eighth son in a family.
What did he think of it?
And I saw him again today and he was still thinking about it.
So, to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Adrian. So there are people in the hall this afternoon.
Yeah.
All right. Been a very lovely, attentive group.